And so maybe there are other inhibiting voices, maybe media. Maybe you have so internalized a sensationalized message that overlaid over what's already raw reality, you find yourself a bit bound up and maybe even paralyzed in fear. Or perhaps just some people that are in your life and they have an agenda. How many of you have some manipulative people perhaps in your life? And God wants you to clarify and sort out some of those voices that maybe are speaking to you, but they don't need to speak into your life. Or perhaps just some people that are misguided. Anybody has some misguided people in their lives? And maybe they're not misfiring, though. You're taking on every hit that they're bringing to you as a target for them. And so maybe you're seeing some people that are misguided in your life, and they're speaking into your life. This is where a word of prophecy comes in, and hear me. Don't tune out yet. Prophecy has this super spiritual connotation. It almost feels impractical, but I need you to know this morning that a word of prophecy, a prophetic word over our lives, is not somehow super spiritual or impractical as a word or only utilized for super spiritual or impractical people, but a prophetic word brings a true, real, life-giving word that is timeless and that is timely. How many of you know we need a timeless, timely word from God himself? Well, we have the fortune of 2 Peter somehow knew ahead of time what would take place within our lives. And I want us to look there, for in this scripture regarding 2 Peter, as we're continuing our study, Peter helps us to know this. There are severe consequences for people that speak to tear you down rather than to build you up. God wants to level up your faith. You may have some people around you that don't want to level it up. They want to bring you down. They want to drag you down. And I pray that God would encourage you and equip you by truth and by spirit this morning to know that those that continue to do certain things that might be against what God wants to do within your life, maybe they're even in the faith, that God wants you to know there is a severe consequence for those that hinder you from hearing and heeding the word of God. So let's look together. You can look on the screen with us in your app, or you can go paper this morning, but let's look together. Let's see the framework for this passage today. 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. Lean in on this. It's different types of phrasing than you might be accustomed. False prophets also arose among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the master who brought them, bringing upon themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their sensuality, or what they think is right in the moment. Because of them, the way of truth will be blasphemed. Hang on to that phrase. And then the next verse follows, verse 3. And in their greed, they will exploit you with false words. Man, anybody ever been there? Their condemnation from long ago is not idle. They're stirred up. Their destruction is not asleep. Listen, there are certain people right now that are speaking into your life. Can I just tell you from on top of a stage this morning that stages are not the only type of platform. Some people within the sound of my voice this morning need to stop giving the influence and the audience of some people that are speaking ill over your life. And they might do it in the name and the voice of God. Come on, ever been there? And God wants you to know that stages are not the only type of platform. Stop giving platform. Stop giving opportunity for people that will pretend in some way they are a prophet over your life, that they're speaking right or good into your life. You and I are easily deceived when we listen to the latest of what people are saying over us rather than what is timeless and timely from the very mouthpiece of God who longs to build you up. Come on, I need you to receive that at the outset of this day. Well, together for a few moments, I'm going to give you five ideas today. Coming from this passage, and we'll pull on some other complementary scripture as well, I want you to see this, that there are some false teachers and prophets among you. They're speaking over your life. They may even be believers. The false teachers or prophets could be people that are in or outside of the faith and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. But they're manipulating something. They're distorting what we need as a truth. They're twisting it to their own means. They're twisting it so that they will stratify themselves above other people to be considered with higher regard. And I want to give you five filters regarding discerning it. Discernment literally means that we would decide spiritually. We would spiritually decide what does God want to say over our lives. So the first is this: popularity over truth. Be careful of the people that are wanting to just bring a popular thought over truth. Watch this. Have you ever seen that there are people, they surface as gurus. They want to be known as an expert. They want to be the end-all and be-all of people coming to them, and they'll filter through truth rather than us process it ourselves. And so we have regurgitated truth, and they'll frame it, they'll filter it. Ezekiel, the great prophet, says it this way. Watch, this is a tough verse. I need you to see this verse is not over your life necessarily. It is over the people that are trying to break you down. Watch this. And I will break down the wall that you have smeared with whitewash. Who's speaking this? It's Ezekiel speaking for God. Bring it down to the ground. So this foundation will be laid bare. When it falls, you shall perish in the midst of it. And you shall know that I am the Lord. Man, strong language. Thus will I spend my wrath upon the wall and upon those who have smeared it with whitewash. And I will say to you, the wall is no more, nor those who smeared it. The prophets of Israel who prophesied concerning Jerusalem and saw visions of peace for her when there was no peace, declares the Lord God. How many of you know that sometimes we can be people that would declare peace when there is none? It's incomplete. We see all around us there's tumult, and people that want to just have peace, watch this or declare it, they think they're bringing unity, they're bringing a greater polarity. Please be mindful of this. Hang on to that for just one moment. I need you to see that there is a language that Jesus had borrowed. Did you see the phrase that Ezekiel says regarding whitewashed? Jesus would borrow that idea when he says it this way regarding the teachers and the keepers of the law that knew better, but they distorted truth over other people's lives to break them down rather than to build them up. Jesus would say in one particular, almost comedic yet tragic moment, he says this, some of you, you are death on the inside. You're just basically whitewashed tombs. Then secondly, I want you to see this. Watch for this. This needs to be one of our filters. Trends over traditions. Now let me start at the back end of that phrase. Not traditions in that we just mindlessly do what our forefathers have done, but standing on some of the things that God has for us. Trends that are just popular thinking, replacing old always for new. Standing in a place where we would build on shifting sand because it seems fancy, it seems trendy, it seems popular, it seems like something that is right in the moment. There's a phrase in the outset of what we saw in 2 Peter that it says, those that would lead out of their sensuality, that is trend seekers. People that long to be on the forefront but forget the foundations of yesterday. Come on, are y'all with me on this? Then Jeremiah, watch this phrasing. It's so similar to what we just saw in Ezekiel regarding the first thought. Jeremiah has a different twist on it, but hang in through the curves on this. They have healed the wound of my people lightly. Another way to say it is it's incomplete. They put a band-aid on it, but we really needed a tourniquet. And they said this, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Do you remember that from the other verse? Were they ashamed when they committed abomination? No. They were not at all ashamed. They did not know how to blush. They lost their conscience. Their conscience was pricked. Therefore, they shall fall among those who fall. At the time that I shall punish them, they shall be overthrown, says the Lord. Man, that's a heavy passage, is it not? And then it continues one more, but then this incredible shift, and God longs to speak this over your life and all that you're going through today. Come on, don't abandon the ancient ways. Thus says the Lord, stand by the roads and look and ask for the ancient paths where the good way is and walk in it and find rest for your souls. Oh, it's such a good word. Come on, be careful to hear what you think might be a good word from someone. Lean into the timeless good word that God speaks over your life, my friends. And then you have others. Come on, have you ever seen this? It's not just greedy as it relates to money, but it's part of it. But people in our lives can be greedy over giving. They're more about getting than they are about giving. And there are some people, I have to be careful of this as a public speaker, that I am not living for the acclaim of the masses and thereby forsaking a moment with one. What am I greeting for? What am I greedy for? A claim or to be a vessel poured out for other people? Watch what Jesus says here. Beware. Guard against every kind of greed. Life is not measured by how much you own. Come on. We might read this and we think it's about people that have. No. How many of you know that some of the people that don't have are some of the greediest people out there? Come on, somebody. Haven't you ever seen that before? That life is not measured by how much you own. Jesus is so wise in that statement. And there might be some of you that people are speaking over your life and they keep wanting to get, They call you a friend, but you've just surfaced as a counselor. They're taking from you. They're stealing from you in the name of friendship, in the name of that it's a reciprocal relationship, but it's not. And God is wanting to speak to you regarding wise choices, surrounding yourself with the right people. And you and I need to eliminate the voices of greed over our lives. Some of you might even be guilty to that end. But it might be more so you have been victimized by it. You've been prone to that coming over your life. Fourth, this is more even in people's private lives than even might be manifesting publicly. Watch this. It's kind of a weird phrase, but if you'll allow me, I'll unpack it. Seduction to evil over attraction to good. What does that mean? There's some people in their own lives, they might have a right thing to say, but their lives are amiss. There's a tremendous disconnect regarding some people, regarding who they are privately and what they say publicly. I need you to see this. It's 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4 to 8. I'll simply reference it. But in this stanza, 2 Peter has this incredible phrasing. That he says, I wanted to remind you that due to pride, due to fueling one's own acclaim and renown, the angel of light, we would know him as the enemy of our soul now, Satan himself, used to be a minister of worship in heaven. Are you aware of that? But seduced by evil desires, even in heaven itself, which is so confounding to me to even process this. Come on, think about this. If an angel can be seduced in heaven, think about how many people are seduced to evil here in a fallen, tainted world of earth. And some of you might be prone to that. You need to watch for that. The people that are bringing spiritual jargon, but it shouldn't fall on your own soul. Before I get too far on this, I need you to see this, that even Peter brings the example of Noah's generation. And he saves Noah and his family, the rest of the generation, as consequences regarding their own being seduced by the evil of the day. Sodom and Gomorrah, it's poetic at this point regarding what that looked like. And I want you to lean in on that God wants you to go towards good voices and good right thinking, not just morality, not just ethics, but that aspect of believing in one that leads you to the good. Filter out the voices that would seduce you towards evil, or they themselves are led that way. And then finally, lead people to self over Savior. Watch for people that just want to lead people back to themselves rather than the Savior. I love how Jesus communicates this. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to fall away, it would be better for him if a heavy millstone were hung around his neck and he were drowned in the depths of the sea. Man, that's heavy language. My friends, I need you to see this morning, that Jesus longs for you to come nearer to him. And anyone that would inhibit that would hinder you from coming, not just the little ones, but he is after your soul, after your heart. He is affectionate towards you. He is thrilled with who you are. But I need you to see this morning that there is an incredible consequence for those that would keep others from following Jesus, keep you from following Jesus. James picks it up a different way. It says, wherever there's selfishness and envy, there is destruction on the back end. Jesus longs for you to know that he longs to welcome you closer. And anyone that will draw you towards who they are rather than towards who the Savior is, they're a false teacher, a false prophet, and you must filter out that voice within your life. Well, 2 Peter concludes that entire passage by saying this, and I'll paraphrase. Those that would speak in those regards, they're like waterless springs. Come on, think about how purposeless a waterless spring is. It's a spring, but it draws no water. What point is there? Exactly. And God wants you to not be prone to the people that are dry, that are dried up and long to do the same for you. I love how Charles Swindoll says it this way. I was reading this recently, and I think it's such a great phrase. He says that we need to be a generation. We need to be a people that has a collective biblical backbone. Man, that's so good. Come on, there are times that people speak into your life and you need to know that God wants you to be ready with an answer, a reason on how to respond, that you and I will not be prone to the wise and persuasive words, but prone to the very power of God. Not a truism, but the truth of what God wants. For he is the way, the truth, and the life over who you are. And some of you desperately need to know that during this time frame. And so buried in the midst of this passage, I'll hang on to this as we move to close this morning. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. Oh, I think this is such a beautiful verse. And I really just want to pray it over you, to be honest. Then the Lord knows how to rescue the godly from trials. Come on, some of you are in the midst of a trial, and come on, if we're honest, we compound our trials sometimes by allowing other voices to come in that perpetuate a trial. Come on, they commiserate with us rather than bring us good godly counsel. Come on, you ever been there before? You bring people in and you rehearse all the tragedy. You keep speaking of it rather than to collectively build one another up and to go back to what does God have to say about this moment? Come on, we need to be like the sons of Issachar that knew, read, and understood their times. I pray God restore you and refresh you during this time. And so there are a couple of thoughts of application for us this morning. One is this. Very urgent for this morning, that there are some of you that you need to redefine or even remove a particular relationship within your life. Maybe it's some relationships you can't remove them, but you need to redefine. Your spouse is speaking ill words over your life. Maybe you need to switch news outlets. Maybe you need to go to the scriptures before you go to the daily paper. Maybe you need to flip the channel, flip the script, and some of you need to redefine, remove those relationships because they are toxic for your soul. And come on, as we go through these next weeks perhaps of uncertainty, man, we're in uncharted territory, everybody. And during these time frames, we must not relent, must not isolate, we must congregate with the right people. People that will lift. Back to the glory of God. For the Lord is the glory and the lifter of your heads. Maybe not just to redefine or remove a relationship, but maybe some of you need to repent. And it might be twofold, the repentance. One is maybe you found yourself as the prophet that spoke out of turn. The one that took on the mantle of responsibility to be a mouthpiece, but you spoke in the name of God and it was dead wrong. You were dead wrong. Maybe you need to own that for a moment and repent of it to do a 180. Or perhaps you need to repent of receiving wrong information over your life. It brought negative inspiration over you. You need to repent of it. And his kindness leads us to repentance. In fact, there might be some people here this morning that feel like his kindness has left the building. And I just sense there are some people right now as we close this service that you need to know that the Lord loves you and gave his only son for you. He's not mad at you. As long as you need to come closer. Maybe bound up in fear. Maybe bound up in doubt. Maybe it's not just doubt over the circumstances. Maybe even doubt in him. Lord can take that. Come on, just a little bit of faith would you bring to him? Just a little bit of faith. The Bible says that even the faith we have, it's the gift of God. He put it there. And I just sense all across this place, there are some people. All across this virtual gathering this morning. That there are some people that need to find and follow Jesus Christ. In fact, I just want to pray for you. In your own way, if you would just simply repeat after me. Father, I thank you that you sent Jesus. To be my Savior, to be my friend. God and Son, you proved your love for me. You risked everything to establish the value of my soul. And I thank you for this gift of God. It is the gift of grace. I receive you today. I believe that you are the way. I believe that you are the truth. I believe that you are the life. And I pray you would come near to me as I draw near to you. Help me to take first steps closer to you and not distant. Help me to take steps towards relationship, not towards religion. Receive me just as I am. And Lord, I want your voice to be most prominent in my life above any other voice that I'm prone to. More than a friend, more than an enemy, more than media, more than someone that's misguided. I want your voice, your truth, for it is timeless and timely. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen and amen. Well, here's how I'd like to actually close before I have you dial down. Here's what I'd like us to do. There are some people that have submitted a few prayer requests, and we'd love to join together in faith. One of the scriptures that has brought me a lot of comfort in the last couple of days is Psalm 91. And that's really my prayer for you. I'd encourage you to check out the entire chapter, but it begins this way. That we can dwell under the shadow of the Almighty. How good is that picture? He is your covering. He is your canopy of grace, peace, and protection. Regardless of what you would experience, He is greater still. So I want to just pray these requests. Would you join with me in faith right where you are? Maybe you're gathered with some other people around a laptop or tablet or phone. We just pause for a moment and let's pray together. I'll just pray right over these requests. So I'm counting on you to join with me, united in prayer this morning. Lord, we pray for continued protection for those even within our church family. We think of those that already predisposed because of autoimmune deficiencies, respiratory ailments. We think of those that are weak in body already or those that are elderly. We pray for our Schofield Manor friends and others in assisted, independent, and nursing home facilities. Think of those that are already in hospitals. Would you protect the workers even that are there, bringing great care? How selfless are they? Pray for wisdom for parents. This is good. Wisdom for parents on how to speak to their children about coronavirus. What a good word. Lord, would you do it? Give us that discernment to know how to not be people of doomsday saying, but yet to bring the proper reality to frame it for a child. We pray for Liz's friend, Ira Minor, recovering from heart surgery. Lord, do a good work. Speed that recovery right now in the name of Jesus. We also, this is a good prayer as well. Lord, we pray for unity in our nation. God, you can actually unite us where we are so radically polarized. You can bring unity that is way above party affiliation. Bring your best, for we are collectively one nation under God. We pray to that end. We pray for Loli and Josie's business and any of their clients who are sick. Pray for grace and favor there. And we pray for all those in the healthcare industry as they're on the front lines and they give their best daily. And Lord, now I pray for all my friends gathered here today. I thank you for the family of God, the friends of Bethany Church. I pray your encouragement over our lives. I pray you continue to equip us for every good work. I pray, Lord, that we would want your voice above any other. Speak above the wind and the waves. Speak above any chaos or confusion. Speak your good word, your word of comfort, your word of truth, your word of life. Now may each one have an incredible day of Sabbath rest. May they rest easy in you. May it be a good week, even in the midst. Let it be a good week, honoring you, glorifying you, to the praise of your glorious grace. Now unto him who was able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or think, according to his power at work within us. Amen and amen. Have a wonderful, wonderful week, everybody. Thanks for tuning in with us. God bless you.